University Press Audiobooks presents The Queen of Fats, Why Omega-3s Were Removed from the Western Diet, and What We Can Do to Replace Them. Written by Susan Allport. Narrated by Tavia Gilbert. Based on the book published by University of California Press. Copyrighted in 2006 by Susan Allport. Transfers to devices are permitted. File sharing and peer-to-peer usage are not permitted. Chapter 1. What's for Dinner? I look upon it that he who does not mind his belly will hardly mind anything else. Samuel Johnson, 1763. The year 2003 will be remembered as a time when America lost its dietary senses. Overnight, it seemed, this country switched from a low-fat regime, in which people shunned every form of visible fat, to the Atkins regime, in which fat consumption was encouraged, but carbohydrates were to be avoided. Jack Spratt, who could eat no fat, suddenly became Spratt's wife and could eat no lean. The accumulated nutritional advice from decades of research was tossed aside like an old blanket, and grocery stores were suddenly filled with such gastronomical oxymora as low-carb bread and beer. Thin women in tight jeans were overheard saying that they loved beets and apples, but had to stay away from them because of all their carbs. Large men in business suits ordered bunless burgers dripping with bacon grease and raved about their diets. Anyone coming back to the United States after time spent in Europe or Asia had an Alice in Wonderland experience, as several returnees told me. Black had become white, and carbohydrates, the food that feeds most of the world's peoples, including the world's leanest peoples, were suddenly the bad guys. But 2003 should be remembered not only as the year that America lost its dietary senses, which it did, but also as the year that the center would no longer hold. By 2003, the nutritional advice given out to Americans by government agencies like the United States Department of Agriculture and medical organizations like the American Heart Association had become so out of sync with current research and biological understanding that schisms and confusion became inevitable. It is unfortunate that those schisms took the form of total rejection, on the part of many Americans, of all the acquired wisdom about what constitutes a healthy diet. But that's what happens when the center doesn't hold, when the marketplace is full of such absurdities as overly sweetened breakfast cereals, such as Cocoa Puffs and Lucky Charms, being endorsed by the American Heart Association because they have no cholesterol or saturated fat, when the oversimplistic low-fat mantra of the 1980s and 1990s made the Atkins craze almost inescapable. As a dieter in Texas confides, eating low-fat guarantees that I will binge on fried foods. Eating low-carb guarantees that I will binge on a bag of chips. Much of the country is now on that fried food high-fat binge, or has binged out on Atkins and moved on. Many of us are more confused than ever about the simplest, most fundamental of questions. What should we have for dinner? In the midst of this confusion, I'd like to throw my hat into the ring of nutritional advice with a tribute to one food, or family of foods, the fatty acids popularly known as the omega-3s. Because these fats were not recognized as being essential to human health until the 1980s, most current recommendations and nutritional advice took shape without them. At the same time, they were being eliminated from many foods because their presence caused problems with product stability and shelf life. Their absence from our foods and our guidelines is a key, a large and growing number of scientists believe, to many of our health problems, and even our befuddlement about food. I have none of the usual qualifications to write this homage. I am neither a physician who treats the diseases to which people who are deficient in these fats are prone, nor a scientist who has spent a lifetime researching the membranes that these fats call home. But that may be an advantage, since scientists and physicians tend to focus on the one piece of the puzzle they are looking at, and these fats, as it turns out, affect the entire body in many different ways. Rather, I am a science writer, a curious denizen of 21st century America with a long-standing